You're listening to American Medicine Today, presented by the Bonatti Spine Institute, featuring internationally acclaimed inventor of the Bonatti spine procedures, Alfred Bonatti, MD. Once again, your host, Kimberly Bermel Bonatti, and co-host Ethan Uecker and Jeff Wagstaff.
Thank you so much for joining us on American Medicine Today. I'm Kimberly Bonatti alongside my friends Ethan Uecker, Jeff Wagstaff, and world-renowned orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Alfred Bonatti. Now, a recent report on the dangers of COVID-19 vaccine has drawn attention from around the world and claims that the CDC's protocol are causing even more deaths than just COVID alone. Joining us to discuss is Dr. Brian Artis, host of the Dr. Artis Show and author of that report. Thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. I'm excited to be here, Kimberly.
Thank you. Now, what prompted you to compile this particular report?
So this is really what's going on. So May 2020, there's actually a report on NIH.gov's website. It's a memo written up by Dr. Anthony Fauci where he's posting the mandated treatment protocols for all COVID-19 patients. And this is why I've created any reports. This is why I've been in the media since May. So what I saw in the news that day in the middle of May was that in that one day, that singular day in the middle of May, May 14th or so, it was reported more people died in that one day than any other day previously from COVID-19 anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing that actual alert and I thought, why in the world would there be more people dying in the great United States of America with its healthcare system? Why would more people in this country be dying in one day than any other country? So I went and listened to the press release of multiple doctors and hospital administrators in New York, because this is where the big outbreak was being reported. And in that press releases, there's multiple of them on multiple media outlets, they actually stated that when we start treating these COVID-19 patients in our hospitals in New York, we have never seen a respiratory virus do this before. Within 3 to 4 or 5 days of treatment, the virus then starts attacking the kidneys and causing acute kidney failure.
Ooh.
We're not only short on ventilators, we're also short on dialysis machines from the acute kidney failure. Mm-hmm. And I remember listening to that going, well, I know the doctors are honest because you don't typically see a respiratory virus attack kidneys. So that was a very honest mention. But I wanted to know, what are they treating them with? Because it sounded eerily familiar to something that happened to me and my wife, to my father-in-law in February, 3 months earlier in 2020.
Is that the D-dimer level?
Is that the what?
Is it called the D-dimer or D-dimer level? I'm trying to remember if that's part of what affects the kidney. Is that what it is on the report?
Oh, so on the report, so this is what it was that came up. So
yeah.
I'll tell you what brought me to that attention. This is what happened. So in February 2020, my father-in-law walked into a hospital with fever and a headache. I was told that he had a fever and cough. They diagnosed him with the flu. And then the next day, they diagnosed him with pneumonia. Day 3, they called to tell us he was now in acute kidney failure. And day 5, he was now unconscious. And that's when I went up there on night 5, only to come in the morning also of day 6 to ask the medical doctor attending him, one of the three who were on shifts. I said, I need you to show me what you found on day 1. And they said, well, we diagnosed him with the flu. He has the flu. And I said, no, I need to see the pathology report. I need to see what bacteria, viruses, pneumonias, whatever you tested for. So he said, sure. He pulls it up on the screen only to find out he never tested positive for influenza A or B on day 1.
What?
He never tested positive for bacterial or viral pneumonia on day 1. And as he's going down the list of pathogens, he's like negative. And he looks very confused. And I said, if he was negative on each of those days, why did you diagnose him with the flu? And this is exactly what he said. We must have expected that was a false negative.
Wow.
And I said, and I looked at him and I said, a false negative? Even if you gave him the diagnosis of a virus, why would you put him on vancomycin, which was a bag hanging from the IV stand? And he said, I said, that's an antibiotic. Why would you put that in anybody for the flu? And he goes, well, that's not the only antibiotic he's on. He's on 2 other antibiotics since day 1. And I said, why would you do that?
C. diff.
I said, why would you do that? I said, it's already known that antibiotics are unwarranted in a viral diagnosis. So you say it's now false negative. You now give him a claim of a unconfirmed diagnosis of the flu. And then he threw 3 antibiotics at it. I said, you have to get him off that vancomycin. You know it causes acute kidney failure. And you called me on day 3 to tell me that he's in acute kidney failure. I said, you have to get him off that drug right now. And he goes, I need to go talk to all the other attending doctors and meet with the administrators. And I said, no, you don't. You need to get him off of it right now. And I said, I need you to show me. You said day 2 he had pneumonia. I want you to show me his x-rays. So he pulls it up. And remember, on the day before, he did not test for viral or bacterial pneumonia, and they did test him for that. So on this next day, supposedly had pneumonia, I said, pull it up, the x-rays, and he pulls it up on the screen in the room with my father-in-law unconscious. And he points at the lung field, and he goes, there's pneumonia. And I said, where's pneumonia? And he points at the lower left lung field. And I said, that's not pneumonia. I said, pneumonia looks like cauliflower appearance. It looks like white clusters of cauliflower in the lung fields. I said, that's not what that is. That is a straight line of water. That's called pulmonary edema. That means water is now saturating his lungs because you're drowning him to death with vancomycin. When you shut down the kidneys, the body retains water. His abdomen by day 6 had 20 pounds of water in it. Wow. It felt like a waterbed. You could push it, and it felt just like a waterbed while he was unconscious. And the water, anybody in the medical profession can tell you, you shut down the kidneys, the abdomen will fill with water, especially if you have an IV bag going in for the last 6 days. You're pumping in water, shutting down his kidneys for excretion. Wow. So his abdomen filled up. The sac that his heart sits inside of, called the pericardium, it fills with water, and then the lungs fill with water. And then you drown the patient to death. And this is why now he was on forced air with oxygen. Now, this was his story. So on day 6, I said, I need you to look at me and tell me, how many days have you had him on Lasix, which is a diuretic? And he goes, we've had him on Lasix every day. And I said, because he's at least 10 pounds heavier than last night when I was here 12 hours ago. And he goes, well, I said, show me the medication schedule. So he pulls it up, only to be literally befuddled was his demeanor. That on day 1, there was no Lasix. Day 2, there was no administered day Lasix. Day 3, they gave him 20 milligrams of Lasix. So on one day, they did. Day 4, 0. Day 5, 0. This is now day 6. Still none. He was shocked that he didn't see it on every day. Wow. And I said, you need to go out to the nurse's station right now and put him on Lasix right now. And he did. He ran out. Within 5 minutes, a nurse had put him on liquid IV Lasix. And within 4 hours, he lost 20 pounds of water. Wow. Now, what was amazing about this, 2 hours after the 4 hours went by, the respiratory therapist comes in, who has this big mask forcing air into this guy because he can't breathe on his own. He's got water filling up in his lungs. The respiratory therapist comes in, and you could hear my father-in-law as he breathed, that he would gurgle and cough mucus as he was breathing. This respiratory therapist comes in, and there's no more gurgling. For the first time in 5 days, he hears no crackling, no sound. If you actually rustle your hair together with your fingers and listen with your ears quietly, that's what pneumonia sounds like. All of that disappeared. And so the guy, the respiratory therapist, said, we're going to turn off all of his forced oxygen, and we're just going to provide him oxygen and see if he can keep his breathing rate up and his O2 levels up. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, for the next 5 hours, it's perfect. We get home. I tell them to keep him on Lasix. We get home that night, 9 o'clock that night. The nurse's station calls my wife to say that they are stopping permanently all Lasix treatment per the doctor's mandates. And I lost it. I went up there the next day and was screaming at them. I lost it. They kicked me out of the hospital and then convinced my wife over the next 2 days that he was never going to survive, never going to recover. They wouldn't even consult with the respiratory therapist, who had his own notes that there was improvements. And they literally set him up literally to murder him with hospital protocols over the next 2 days. And this is how they end it. They go, it's time to give palliative care. It's time to put him on a morphine drip and let him go.
What?
And so they do. They overdose your loved ones in ICUs or in hospitals on morphine over a 2 to 4 hour period. Morphine paralyzes your heart, paralyzes your diaphragm so you can't breathe, but they tell you they're doing this so that your loved one's not in pain. No, it isn't. They do that to them so that as they restrict his ability to breathe, his heart can't pump blood through his body and he can't flail around in the bed trying to get air. That's what they're doing. So this was disgusting to me. I watched this murder. I watched it. Due to these ill protocols, the issues that they changed their protocols after I would leave the hospital or was kicked out was just to cover their rear ends. They knew they'd be liable for stuff that I was bringing to their attention. But fast forward to May, what I'm hearing is that in the news, these doctors and administrators in New York are saying, when we start treating these patients for COVID-19, we've never seen a respiratory virus do this before. It attacks the kidneys on day 3, 4, and 5 and shuts them down. We need dialysis machines. We're short on those. And I couldn't help but ring the bell.
Yeah.
That, holy crap, it's day 3, the same days in which my father-in-law's lung or kidneys were shut down. It actually didn't take that long. It's just when they saw enough markers in the blood to diagnose it that way. But
Dr. Anyway, Argus, did they ever test your father-in-law for COVID? Did he have COVID?
Nope. COVID wasn't even in Texas yet. So this was the first week of February. We were all in there. No, there was no even words of COVID in Texas.
No kidding.
Just the gross negligence of that hospital. And are you saying that people that are suffering with COVID are having that same protocol put on them, and that's why there are so many deaths?
Oh, yeah, great point. So my first thought was, is I bet they're killing all these people or shutting down their kidneys with vancomycin. So I went to CDC.gov's website to find out, what are they treating these patients with after I watched these press releases? Only to find out vancomycin wasn't being offered as a mandated treatment. It was one drug on NIH.gov's website that Anthony Fauci said was proven to be safe and effective against the Ebola virus in 2018 and 19, mm-hmm. and proven effective against COVID-19 in a cohort study put on by the manufacturer in March 2020. And this drug, which had never been FDA approved before, was called Remdesivir. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Remdesivir? Never even heard of that drug. And I, by myself at home, wanting to know what is so miraculous about this drug that was not at that time FDA approved, mm-hmm. and why in the same memo was Anthony Fauci bashing hydroxychloroquine, which I knew had been FDA approved for like 70 years.
Yes.
Why was he bashing it now, saying in this memo it's shown to cause heart failure and death in COVID-19 mm-hmm. patients? It was just odd.
Fear.
So I had to click the study that Anthony Fauci was quoting on why Remdesivir was so essential to use during this COVID pandemic. And I couldn't believe what I read.
Wow.
We need a part two with you, Dr. Artis.
Do you have time to hang on with us, Dr. Artis?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, stay tuned. Coming up after the break, we'll be back with him to continue this discussion on the CDC protocols that are causing mass deaths. Thanks for listening to American Medicine Today.